Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've pressed play today because this episode is going to make one of the most important topics in your GCSE biology exam feel a whole lot less daunting. We're diving into topic B7, practical skills, and I promise by the end of this episode, you'll feel genuinely confident about what examiners are looking for. Here's the thing about practical skills questions. They come up on every single paper. You cannot avoid them. But the good news? Once you understand the underlying principles, you can answer questions about experiments you've never even seen before. That's the real skill here, and that's exactly what we're going to build together today. So grab a pen, maybe a cup of tea, and let's get started. Let's begin with the foundation of all practical work: variables. Every experiment you do, every single one, involves three types of variable. The independent variable is what you deliberately change. The dependent variable is what you measure in response. And control variables are everything else that you keep the same to make it a fair test. Here's a memory trick. Think IDC. I change, D is measured, C is controlled. I change, D is measured, C is controlled. Say it a few times and it'll stick. Now, examiners absolutely love asking you to identify variables. In a 6-mark question on experimental design, you'll almost certainly need to name all three. Don't just say temperature. Say the temperature of the water bath is a control variable kept constant at 25 degrees Celsius throughout the experiment. That level of specificity is what gets you the marks. Moving on to accuracy, precision, repeatability, and reproducibility. And I want to be very clear here because candidates mix these up constantly and it costs them marks every year. Accuracy is how close your result is to the true value. Think of it like a dartboard. If your dart lands in the bullseye, that's accurate. Precision is about how close your repeated measurements are to each other. If all your darts land in a tight cluster, even if that cluster is nowhere near the bullseye, that's precise, but not accurate. Repeatability means you can repeat the experiment yourself and get similar results. Reproducibility means someone else in a different lab with different equipment can repeat it and get similar results. Reproducibility is the higher standard. It's what makes science trustworthy. Now let's talk about the 8 practical activity groups, or PAGs. These are the core experiments you must have completed during your course, and examiners can ask questions about any of them. The 8 PAG cover microscopy and cell observation, osmosis and diffusion, enzyme activity, photosynthesis, respiration, plant responses and transpiration, ecology and sampling, and food tests using qualitative reagents. Let me highlight a few key techniques from these PAGs that come up most often in exams. First, measuring reaction rates. You can measure how fast a reaction is happening in 3 main ways. You can measure the volume of gas produced over time, for example, collecting oxygen from a photosynthesis experiment using an upturned measuring cylinder filled with water. You can measure the uptake of water by a plant shoot using a pitometer. Or you can measure a color change using an indicator, like DCPIP, decolorizing in a vitamin C experiment, or iodine changing from orange-brown to blue-black when starch is present. Second, food tests. You need to know 4 of these cold Benedict's reagent tests for reducing sugars. A positive result gives a brick red precipitate. Iodine solution tests for starch. Positive result is blue-black. Burette reagent tests for proteins. Positive result is a purple or lilac color. An ethanol emulsion test checks for lipids. A positive result gives a milky white emulsion when the ethanol extract is added to water. Third, scientific drawings. These come up more than students expect. A good scientific drawing must be drawn in pencil with clear, unbroken lines. No shading. Use stippling if you need to show density. Label lines must be straight and must not cross each other. Always include a scale or magnification. Examiners award marks for accurate proportions, clear cell boundaries, and correct labeling. Fourth, safe use of equipment. You need to know when to use a Bunsen burner versus a water bath. A water bath gives more even controlled heating and is safer for flammable substances. A Bunsen burner is used for rapid heating where precise temperature control is less critical. Always wear safety goggles when heating and tie back hair. For living organisms, whether bacteria, plants, or animals, you must consider ethical treatment and safe disposal. Fifth, sampling techniques in ecology. If you're studying the distribution of organisms in a habitat, you use quadrats for plants and slow-moving animals, and transects for studying how species distribution changes across a gradient, like from a woodland edge into open grassland. The key formula here is estimated population size equals the number in the sample divided by the fraction of the total area sampled. Always randomize your quadrat placement to avoid bias. Use random number coordinates. Never choose where to put them based on what you can see. Right, let's talk exam strategy because knowing the content is only half the battle. The most common mistake I see is candidates not reading the question carefully enough. If a question says, suggest one improvement to the method, they need a specific practical improvement, not just repeat the experiment. Saying use a more precise thermometer, such as a digital thermometer accurate to 0.1 degrees Celsius, is the kind of answer that earns the mark. Second big mistake, forgetting units. If you calculate a rate of reaction and write 2.5 without writing the units, centimeters cubed per minute or whatever is appropriate, you will lose the mark. Always, always include units. Third, confusing anomalous results with errors. An anomalous result is a data point that doesn't fit the pattern. You should circle it on a graph, exclude it from your mean calculation, and suggest a reason for it, such as a measurement error or a contaminated sample. You do not just ignore it without comment. Fourth, when a question asks you to evaluate a method, you must give both strengths and weaknesses and then make a judgment. Don't just list problems. Say something like, overall, the method is reliable because repeats were taken and a mean calculated. However, accuracy could be improved by using a colorimeter instead of visual color comparison. Fifth, for graph questions, always draw a line of best fit, which may be a curve, rather than connecting points dot to dot. Describe the trend using data. As temperature increased from 10 to 40 degrees Celsius, the rate of reaction increased from 2 to 8 centimeters cubed per minute. That's the kind of answer that gets full marks. Okay, quick fire quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds, then give the answer. One, what does the independent variable mean? The independent variable is the variable you deliberately change. Two, what color does Benedict's reagent turn with a positive result for reducing sugars? Brick red. Three, name one way to measure the rate of photosynthesis. Volume of oxygen produced per minute or uptake of carbon dioxide. Four, what is the difference between repeatability and reproducibility? Repeatability is the same person getting consistent results. Reproducibility is different people in different labs getting consistent results. Five, what must you always include on a scientific drawing? Clear pencil lines, labels with straight lines that don't cross, and a scale or magnification. Let's bring it all together. Topic B7 is about demonstrating that you understand how science actually works, not just the facts, but the process. Examiners want to see that you can design a fair experiment, identify variables, choose appropriate equipment, record data accurately, and evaluate results critically. The 5 things to take away from today. 1, know your variables, independent, dependent, and control. 2, understand the difference between accuracy, precision, repeatability, and reproducibility. 3, learn your food tests, Benedict's, iodine, BRA, and ethanol emulsion. 4, always include units and use specific data when describing graphs. And 5, when evaluating, give both sides and make a judgment. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions, and remember, every mark you earn in practical skills questions is a mark you've worked hard to understand. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.